If you look at your bulletin, you're going to see it says, give and it shall be given unto you. Give and it'll be given unto you. Press down. Amen. Shaken together. Ooh, and what? And running over. Hallelujah. How many can handle some of that? Man, how many can you handle that? Where God is saying, here you go. Here it is, pressed down. It's shaken together and it's running over for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at the rest of that verse. What does it say? What does it say? As you give. Is that right? It's going to be given unto you. Is that right? Don't worry. How many of your wallets shaking right now? Uh-oh, he's going to ask for money. Uh-oh. No, I'm serious, man. As you give, that's a promise. As you give, God's going to give unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It's just what is the word of God. You know who was saying this? The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Those are his words to us. Give shall be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you again, right back to you. Amen? Is that good? Folks, those are promises. That's a promise. And God does not break promises. Hallelujah. I mean, whoo, I can feel that, man. God does not break his promises. He will not go back on what he's told us. Set and settled forever in heaven. Amen. Oh, man. Get ready, folks. Hallelujah. Yeah, we're going to talk about giving. But don't get worried. Don't lose what we're going to, you know, sometimes, uh-oh, I only got a dollar in my wallet. Yeah, uh-oh. No, man, don't lose that. Hey, we're going to talk about giving, how God wants to bless you in giving. Hallelujah. And it's not just money. How do you know that? It's not just money. Amen? God wants to bless you and take you someplace. Praise God. Hallelujah. That was for the kids. So we're going to go ahead and release the kids this morning. Everybody say, yeah, come on. Praise God, you guys. Hallelujah. Bravo. Kids, young people. I love young people. Hallelujah. How many know that? Yeah. I love young people. Glory to God. You watch what happens. Just watch. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to be here this morning. We had a great picnic yesterday. I want to thank everybody that came to the picnic and helped and everything. It was fun. Hallelujah. It's fellowship is always good. Amen? Always good for us. Amen? Hallelujah. It's good. Huh? It is good for us to dwell together in what? Unity. How do you know? Eating hot dogs, we can have some unity. Amen? Amen. Drinking water, I mean, it's nice. How many had fun at the picnic yesterday? Praise God. It was good. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Great things coming up. If you will, let's go into Genesis chapter 14. And don't worry. Genesis 14. If you're going to be taking notes today, there's going to be a lot of scriptures that God has given me this morning. And I have kind of titled it money management, but it's money / management, not just money management. Because how many know that blessings are a lot more than just your money? Money is just one of them things. Amen? Hallelujah. And so it's money and then management. Hallelujah. We're going to be talking about some things that I feel God has given us to think about. So let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning. I thank you, Lord, that you are able to do far abundantly above all that we ask or think. Lord, open our ears to hear what you're saying to us this morning. Father, your word does tell us that he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. So, Lord, we just pray. Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. every one of us that's in this building, the young in the back, in their Sunday school, and all of those here, even to the sound guys, Father God, that you would speak to our hearts, God. Even Pastor Dave back there walking around looking, God, that you would touch his heart. Everyone's heart this morning, I ask, Father, that you would speak to by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, say amen. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. Every heart. Amen. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 14, starting at verse 1, it says, and it came to pass in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Eleazar, sorry, a lot of names here, and it's going to be a little bit, Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of nations, that these made war with Bera, king of Sodom, and with Birsha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Admah, and Shem Eber, king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, which is Zoar. All these were joined together in the vale of Sidon, which is the Salt Sea. 12 years they served Chedorlaomer, and in the 13th year they rebelled. Everybody say, uh-oh. What happens when you got a king and you rebel against your king? What happens? Could be a war. Amen? Kings don't usually like that kind of stuff. All right. Verse 5 says, in the 14th year came Chedorlaomer and the kings that were with him and smote the Rephims in Ashtaroth, Karnaim, and the Zuzims in Ham, and the Emims in Sheba, Kirai, Athiam. Say all that, okay? Praise God. I'm going to tell you, I do recognize the Zuzims, the Emims, and there's one more that was in there. The Zuzims, the Emims, and there was another one in there. Yeah, those guys, do you guys remember who they were? The Zuzims and the Emims? They were giants. Remember? When David's men killed those guys, they were big guys. One of them, the Bible talks about one of his men that he killed, one of those giants, had 13 toes. Isn't that crazy? That's crazy. So, anyway, these guys were big. All right, so these kings went and they defeated these big guys. The Horites in Mount Seir and unto El Paran, which is by the wilderness. And they returned and came to En Mishpat, which is Kadesh, and smote all the country of the Amalekites, and also the Amorites that dwelt in Hazon Tamar. And there went out of the king of Sodom, and the king of Gomorrah, and the king of Admah, and the king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, who the same as Zoar. And they joined battle with them in the vale of Sidon, with Chedorlaomer, the king of Elam, and with Tidal, king of nations, and Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Eleazar, four kings with five. And the vale of Sidon was full of slime pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled and fell there, and they that remained fled to the mountain. Sounds like a world war in that day, is that right? All these kings come into battle against all these other kings, and they're fighting. And they took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. Now Lot had come with Abraham. His father had passed away and told Abraham to go into the land of Canaan, and Lot came with Abraham, but they had so much they had so many flocks, sheep and cattle, that Abraham told Lot, he said, hey, look at the land. Which one do you want? Do you want to live here or do you want to live there? Wherever you live, I'll go somewhere else and live, because the land can't handle both of us with all our flocks. So Lot looked and he saw how nice it was around Sodom and Gomorrah. And it was green and everything. So he looked at that and he says, I'll take over there. So Abraham left and went on the other side of the mountains, and that's where he dwelt. Well, when these kings went to battle, they captured Lot, Abraham's, it says son, but he's actually his nephew. He was Abraham's brother, Nahor's son. So that's who Lot is, okay? So they captured him, verse 12. They took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol, brother of Aner, and these were confederate with Abraham. These guys were his friends. And when Abraham heard that his brother, or Lot, was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. We had kings that were battling these guys, and now just Abraham and his men and his household, let's go get these guys, right? Is that cool? How many of you say, oh, I don't know about that, Abraham? Yeah, I mean, I wonder his guys, what? Yeah, we're going to go, okay, we'll do that. Let's do that. Let's try it. Praise God. Abraham was a man of faith. How do you know that? Amen. Praise God. He said he divided himself against them, he and his servants by night, and smote them and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods and brought again his brother Lot and his goods and the women also and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer. King of Sodom must have been pretty happy at this time. Is that right? All right, man. Hey, man, they probably had some little things going on. He says, yeah, I don't know. I'm a fish. Abraham, he's our man. If we can't do it, he sure can. Amen? Come on. They were probably just, hey, come on, Abraham, he's a man. Come on, high-fiving him. Is that right? Come on. Happy about, hey, he beat that king, took away all the goods, all the people, everything that he had taken, and brought it all back. That's Abraham. Man of God. How many of you know that we are children of Abraham? Do you guys know that? Yeah. That was grandpop. Granddad Abraham to us, amen? Say, what? Yeah, that's right. Hallelujah. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheba, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem. Here's a new king stepping into the picture. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. I'm going to just tell you that the priesthood in the earth had not been set up yet. Is that right? How many of you know that? This was pre-Moses, this was before Moses, before the the Exodus out of Egypt. This was before all that happened. And here's this priest that shows up. Amen? Hallelujah. Interesting feller. Hallelujah. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. I don't know, you pay attention to what he's saying. He was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. Blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he gave him, Abraham gave Melchizedek tithes of everything that he had gotten. And the king of Sodom said to Abraham, give me the persons and take the goods to yourself. I mean, hey, here's the king that got defeated, and now he's giving orders. Go ahead and give me my people back. You can have the rest of the stuff. Okay. You didn't go out there and beat these guys, did you? No, you didn't. You ran off, didn't you? Yeah. But now everything's back, and now you, okay, what? But Abraham's not like us. How many know that? He's not like us. And he says this. Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from you even, I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say that I have, that you have made Abraham rich. Save only that which the young men have eaten, and with the portion of my friends, which were the guys, or the men which went with me, Anar, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion. Let me just say something to you. Was Abraham at all worried about the riches involved? He wasn't. He was not worried about it at all. His only concern was his nephew and what his nephew had. Family, amen? He was after his family. And when the king of Sodom shows up, I'm sorry, when the king of Salem shows up, Melchizedek, when he shows up, he gives him a tenth of everything that he had. Abraham had some insight into what God was doing in his life. Would you know that? And sometimes we might not have that insight that God has given us, but God has given us an insight to learn about what he's doing in our life. Amen. He has given us the Holy Spirit to show us things that he says, look, these things will bless you. Amen. God wants you blessed. How many know you want to be blessed? How many of you say, yeah, I want to be blessed? One, two. Oh, yeah, now you want to be blessed. Yeah, come on. I mean, I'm always doing that with your hands because I'm going to say, one thing it tells me if you're listening. Another thing it tells me if you're awake. Hallelujah. How many want to be blessed? Come on, man. Hallelujah. How many know that you are blessed? How many know that God has already given you all things that pertain to life and godliness, but you just got to go after them? You just got to find it. Say, okay, God, show it to me. Praise God. And he wants to show you things. Amen? Hallelujah. Right, let's talk a little bit about this fellow Melchizedek. Let's go to, I believe it's Hebrews chapter 7. I didn't put it down. There is almost a whole chapter devoted to, and maybe even a little bit more in the Bible, devoted to this fellow that came out and met Abraham. Starting in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1, it says this: For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness. This was the man that met Abraham, king of righteousness. Do you know anybody that goes by that name? Come on, man. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. This was an event. What Abraham experienced was an event with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He experienced an event. Hallelujah. Woo, come on. Oh, God shows up on the scene. Amen. Name is King of Righteousness, and after that also King of Salem, which means King of what? Peace. Do you know anybody that's Jesus is the Prince of Peace? Amen. Hallelujah. When you're going through things and things don't feel right, call upon him. He is the King of Peace. He is the King of Peace. That's what it says right there. A king of peace. He is a great and mighty king. Amen. Ooh, come on. Hallelujah. So Abraham in this is where we get the tithe paying. The tenth part. Paying a tenth of your income. Amen. Amen. Thank you. I got one amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My wife's going to tell me, leave him alone. Jeez. Hallelujah. This is where we get the tithe paying. And how many know that we're to pay tithes and offerings? Is that right? Yes. Hallelujah. And I'm going to say this right now. I'm just going to put it out there. It's later on. I think I'll probably say it a little bit more often. But it's, you know, everything, folks, is in your hands. It's up to you. I will not force you. If somebody's forcing you, tell them to knock it off. Hallelujah. There are certain things that when God looks at your heart, that when you're giving, there he's looking for some things, okay? All right, so I'm going to give you some rules for giving. How's that sound? Is that okay? Mm-hmm. Rule number one. I was thinking of, never mind. Aladdin. Rule number one. I can't make anybody fall in love. No, okay, praise God. Rule number one. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 17. Hallelujah. Can we put that up on the board? What does it say? Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he has given thee. Rule number one. What's rule number one here? As you're able. Is that right? Pretty easy. Give as you're able. I like that. Hallelujah. Just give as you're able. Rule number two. Matthew 6:3. Hallelujah. But when you do your alms, let not your left hand know what your right hand is doing. What's rule number two? Yeah, don't brag about it. You know, I mean, just give. Don't go to, hey, I gave $1,000 last week. And somebody else said, I gave $10,000. Someone else says, I gave $50,000. And then some pastor comes along, you're a liar. I'm just kidding. Praise God. Hey, just how it says that God sees you in secret, give in secret. You don't have just. There's another scripture that I didn't get down here, but it says, freely you have received, freely what? Give. That's a rule. As you've received, give. Praise God. Romans chapter 12, verse 8 says this. He that exhorts on exhortation, he that gives, let him do it with what? Simplicity. He that rules with diligence, he that shows mercy. What's the rule in this one? Just doing it simply and being a cheerful giver. Is that right? Rules for giving. Hallelujah. Because I'm going to tell you something. I have seen folks that have given. It looks like they're mad. You gave how much, honey? I'm going to go eat lunch after this. Praise God, man. Hallelujah. Time to fast. Amen. Come on. I'm just kidding. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, what does it say? Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a what? Cheerful giver. How many of you guys, everybody tell me what that word cheerful means? Excited and what? I've heard people say hilarious. Is that right? Just give hilariously. Ah, here, man. Take my check. No, I'm just kidding. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know what? These are some rules for giving, because the fact of the matter, God does look on your heart. He sees how you go. I am not here this morning to try to get anything out of you. I am not shaking your holding you upside down, shaking you. I'm not doing that this morning, because I totally believe that as you give, as you feel in your heart, you're to give. And that's it. Amen. Yeah, how many of you watch some of these commercials where they're showing babies on TV and they say give to this or whatever, and they got all these kids that are, and a lot of times what they're drawing on is your emotions. And how many know we're not supposed to be led by emotions? How many know we're supposed to be led by something else? What's that? The Spirit of God. Allow the Spirit of God. When you're feeling something like that, check it. Say, Lord, is that you? Is this you? Sometimes it might be him. Other times you'll just find it's just your emotions. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen? God wants us to give. He wants us to be givers. Do you know that when you're giving, you're acting like God himself? Do you know that? Amen. You realize that? Because the Bible says this, for God so loved the world that he what? He gave. See, God's a giver. How many know that? How many are glad about that? God is a giver. He wants to give you great things. Hallelujah. He wants to show you what he has for you. Can't hardly get away from that. Hallelujah. So we want to look at the tithe. We're going to look at it. We want to give cheerfully, but let's go to the tithe. Genesis chapter 28, verse 22. Jacob had something to say. We'll start at verse 20. Jacob realized that his father had been blessed. And he knew that his father was probably given a tenth of everything he got. How many know that Abraham became a very rich man? Just giving. And as far as I know, the Bible only says he gave a tenth, but it might have been a lot more than that. Is that right? I have heard, I've known some folks that give more than 10%, and God blesses them. So they kick up their percentage. God blesses them. God bless them. Though I heard of a guy, he was giving 90%, living off the 10%, and this guy was blessed. God was blessing him. Do you know that you cannot outgive God? I wish I could find that as a scripture, but you can't outgive him. Amen. Hallelujah. He tells us. He tells us that according to the way we give, we're going to get it back. Amen. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. Praise God. Hallelujah. So Jacob is realizing that God has blessed his dad. And Jacob is out by a place called Bethel where it hasn't been built yet. And Jacob vowed a vow in verse 20. He says, vowed a vow saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, I will, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. It's kind of crazy thought. And then verse 22, he says, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth to you. You see what he's telling God? I'm going to give you a tenth of everything you give me. Everything. This ear thing is bothering me. Is that okay? Is that okay, folks? So if I'm playing with it a lot, I'm sorry. God wants to give us these things. And Jacob is saying, God, if you'll do this, I'll give you a tenth. And I'm sure God said, okay, let's find out. Let's see how well you do. How many of you know that Jacob went home to where his dad was? A rich man. God blessed him where he had gone. And then over another Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. This is the last book in the Bible. And last book in the Old Testament, I should say. Sorry. Chapter 3, verse 10 says this. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. He wants to pour out a blessing on you, so much so that there will not be room for you to receive it. What do you think of that? Anybody like that? Amen. Come on, man. That's God. How many know we serve a rich, rich God? Hallelujah. And we are not to seek riches. Is that right? But we are to seek Him. And when our heart is connected to Him and we're loving the God that we serve, whoo, come on. God says, yeah, I'm going to give you this, I'm going to give you that. He begins to give us the things that He has prepared for us from the foundation of the world. How many know that? Oh, man. God really does have a lot for you. Praise the Lord. Mm. He will open the store windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. I keep a, I don't know if I've got it with me. Yeah, I do. I've got one of these. This is cinco pesos. Is that right? Yeah, that's what it says, cinco pesos. You know, a lot of people, hey, you got money hanging out of your Bible. Yeah, well, I don't know how anybody know what cinco pesos is? How much? 50 cents. Is it really? 50 cents. Cinco pesos. I keep this in because, hey, when God wants to pour out a blessing on you, is he trying to rain money from heaven on you? Blessing comes in a multitude of fashion. Is that right? Thank you, brother. God wants to bless you. And our minds, sometimes we don't, most of the time, we're kind of thinking along those monetary blessings maybe. And maybe we're thinking about, you know, my kids will be healthy and everything. But there are so many blessings that God has for us that, we just don't realize just how much he wants to bless the person that loves him. Amen. It's crazy. Let him bless you, amen? Yes. Say, come on, man. Let him bless me. He wants to open those storehouses out and pour you out a blessing. Didn't hang around him a lot, but my brother was a truck driver up at the mine. And he got those huge trucks. You guys seen those big trucks? And when they dump a lot of ore into the crushers or wherever that. And I've watched that a few times. But God will back up his dump truck into your house. When you're on your knees, you're praying, all of a sudden he backs up his dump truck and he begins to pour this thing on you, man. Ooh, man, there's nothing like it. How many know what I'm talking about? There is nothing like that blessing that God begins to pour upon you. You begin to get a little excited. You begin to say, God, you are so good. Let's go to Luke chapter 6, verse 38. I want to talk to you now about giving. We talked about tithes. You guys okay with that? You guys are very quiet this morning. That's okay. And, you know, talk about my money, Pastor. No, I'm not. I'm really not. I'm just talking about the God that loves you. All right? Here's that scripture. This is our verse for this Sunday. It says, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. I just want to go over that one more time. As you give, the way you give is the way you receive. Do you know that? Hallelujah. So I have purpose in my heart to give big. Hallelujah. Give freely. Amen. Amen. Give with joy. Amen. Amen. Just be glad about having the ability to give. How many know it's good to have the ability to give? Hallelujah. So if God gives you something, say, man, I'm going to take something and give it away. I heard Ken the Copeland say one time, he goes, you know what? When you're down to your last 20, give it away, but make sure you're happy about it. Amen. When you're down to that last $20 bill, come on, here you go. And you hand it to him and allow God to see what you're doing. Amen? Praise God. So get this scripture. It says Proverbs chapter 22, verse 9. It says this. Did I give you that one? Okay. Proverbs 22, 9 says, 19. I might have written it down for you guys different. Huh? Proverbs 22, verse 9. Is that different? Yeah. Did it go up? Yeah. Was it? Good. It says, he that has a bountiful eye shall be blessed. For he gives of his bread to the poor. Do you see that? He that has a bountiful eye shall be blessed. How many of you have a bountiful eye? Don't raise your hands. I'm sorry. Just do you have a bountiful eye? Do you have an eye that looks and sees a need and say, man, I'm gonna, hey, I'm going to meet that need. Do you have that? Is that happening to you? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 11. Got all of that in because, man, I love this section of Scripture because it's just kind of discusses what God's trying to bring us into. So I'm going to... Second Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 11. But this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Amen?
Amen.
Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, this is a scripture we had earlier, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And just take a look at that verse. Verse 8 says, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, having all sufficiency in all things, you may abound to every good work. Do you see what God's trying to say to you? He's wanting you to have all sufficiency in everything, always. Is that cool? Can I tell you this? Poverty is not from God. Is that right? It's not from God. God says, I don't know where you got that from, but it's not from me. Amen. God wants to take you into what he has for you. He really does. So it's so important that we listen to what he's saying here and the things that he's describing to us so that we can understand that God really is trying to get us past what we're going through now and move us into what he wants us to have in the future. Amen? Hallelujah. Check it out. Look at this. I want you to look at grace, right? I've talked about grace before, but I just want to talk about grace is not unmerited favor. Okay? Webster's Dictionary says that grace is unmerited favor. Webster's Dictionary gives an example, like it usually does, that when it is a grace period after a payment is due. Insurance give you grace, is that right? Your insurance company is going to give you grace, is that right? Why do they give you grace? They want your money. So they say, okay, if you're late, we'll give you 90 days to make sure that you get your payment in or whatever. So but that is not what the Bible describes what grace is. Grace, the word is charis. Everybody say charis. Charis. I'm going to say that. And that word charis is not a merited favor. The word charis is divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. That's grace. Divine influence upon your heart and it's the reflection in your life. You are saved by grace. You hear that? You're saved by grace. It's not unmerited favor that saves you. It is divine influence that faith. Do you guys catch what I'm saying? Divine influence brings you in. It's the Holy Spirit influencing you by the Word of God to bring you in. Mercy. 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 Now that is unmerited favor. That's what mercy is. But grace is divine influence. Hallelujah. He wants to influence us so that we can have, the Holy Spirit wants to influence so we can have all sufficiency in all things always. In verse 8, there's a word there that says abound. Hallelujah. He wants you to abound. Check out this word abound. In the Greek, it is perisuo. P-E-R-I-S-S-E-U-O. Perisuo. And this is what the word means. There's some of the titles, some of the things that it says that it means. To superabound. Not just abound, but to superabound. That's that word. In quantity or quality, to be in excess. How many of you say, yeah, come on. Hallelujah. Being in excess, you know what that is? That's running over. Shaking together, running over. Be in excess. Have more abundance, enough to spare. Increase over and above. That's that word. He wants you to abound. God is saying, you, because of who he is dwelling in you, you are rich. Amen. You are in better place than you know. How many of you know that you're in a good place? Did you know that? Yeah. How many of you know that you don't know how good you are? Is that right? Some might say, oh, you don't know me. No, I'm telling you, God knows you. And you don't know just how good you have it. God has got so much for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many want to increase? How many want to be over and above? How many want to superabound? How many want a quality? How many want in quantity or quality superabound? How many want to be in excess? It's up to you. Come on, all of the above. But the thing is, it's up to you. Not up to me. It's up to you how you do this. Amen? Hallelujah. How you give your time, it's all up to you. That's the greatest thing about it. Like I've said before, the Word of God says, David said, my soul is continually in my hand. It's in your hand. What you do and how you prosper in this thing is in your hand. How you look at God's Word and how you allow it to affect you. And when you begin to give and you give the way we just talked about, God says, there's no stopping. There really isn't no stopping. So it's up to you. Why? This is the management part. I want to talk to you a little bit about managing those things. Is that okay? Are you guys all right? You're awful quiet today, so I'm telling you, I'm not trying to get... Hide the box. That's okay. Hide the... Listen. As a pastor... I need to speak to you how to abound, how to superabound. As a pastor, I need to be concerned that you are moving upward and forward in everything that you do. I'm not trying to shake money out of you. Come on. Hallelujah. That's not even my end. I'm not even close to that. I just want you to be blessed. Blessed. Past what you even can think about. Come on, man. Hallelujah. So that's a little management. I mean, remember the parable in Matthew where he talks about the talents, where he gave 5 to 1, 2 to another, and 1 to another. And the guy with the 1 went and buried it. That is not managing what God has given you. I'm going to tell you something. God has given you, how many say God has given you stuff, something? All right? Everybody's got something. God has given you something. And you know what? One of the ways to manage what you got is don't complain about it. Is that right? This old car, it eats gas. Cry, wah, wah, wah. And God is saying, hey, I gave that car to you. You know, one time, I talk about Kenneth Copeland, but I remember listening to one of his stories he was talking about. He was looking for an airplane. How many know that Kenneth Copeland has quite a few jets? Well, he did. I don't know how he's doing now, but and you know they were after him about it. They were kind of, you know. But God will give you stuff, and people around you, the world that don't understand the economy of God, don't get it. So they're gonna, oh man, look at that. Where'd he get all? You know, he's got all these jets. He's got a hangar that's got his own name on it. You know, so you know that's because God wants to bless his people. And it's a testament to God. But Kenneth Copeland was talking about one of his jets that he had. He said, I asked God for this jet, and I didn't get an answer. A week later, I asked God for that jet. And then the people that were selling the jet told him, hey, we're going to take $100,000 off of it. God, you got to get me this jet. Got $100,000 off on it. I'll go ahead and buy it. So he went and bought it. 3 months after he bought it, it broke down. So he's crying to God. He says, hey, God, your jet broke. Praise God. God told him, I didn't buy that. You did. Come on, man. Is that right? Come on. God wants to give us good things, but we got to be in connection with him. We got to stick with him. We got to hear what he says. We got to understand that he is trying to bless it, but you can't fool him. You cannot play. You can't play like you're seeking him and then expect him to give you stuff. Do you know that? Do you know that he knows your heart?
Yes, he does.
He knows you. Praise God. Hallelujah. You don't want to bury your one thing that you've got. You want to allow it to flourish, to grow. I was standing outside my house one day, and this is probably, you know, I'm going to tell you more about Henry. I was standing out my side, because God had told me years ago, he goes, I'm going to give you a house. And one day, I was kind of standing outside, and I'm looking around out there, and the yard's kind of full of stuff. And I'm turning around, and I'm looking at the house that I've got, and I said, Lord, I thought you said you were going to give me a house. Years had passed since he'd given me that word. And my eyes I just happened to look up at the fascia board on the house, and man, it needed painting bad. Anybody's fascia board need painting? And it was unmaintained. How's that sound? Unmaintained. And the Lord spoke to me. Right when my eyes hit that board, the Lord said, why should I give you anything else if you won't maintain what I've given you? Oh, hit me like an arrow hit me hard. I said, Lord, come on. After that, I told my wife about it. We started cleaning. We started working on stuff. I don't know if you've ever been to my yard. You won't find very many weeds around my house. And I've probably got at least an acre of property that it's sitting. I got 6 acres, but where the acre is where it's sitting, there's no weeds there. It's being maintained. God had showed me that and began to work with me in maintaining what I've got. When I was walking around this building, I was just looking at it. There's nobody here. The doors were boarded up. And I was back here in the back behind the building. And I don't know if anybody's been back there. It doesn't look very nice back there. It looks kind of old and just broke down kind of. And I was looking. When I first looked at it, like, oh, man. And the Lord spoke to me. No maintenance. They haven't maintained it. So when I spoke to the owner of the building, I told them, the Lord said to me that the building hasn't been maintained. And I thought I offended him because he put... And then he says, you're right. Poor management is what I've got. I had poor management in this building. But God had been taking me through some things. Do you know that, can I just say something? Some folks might be a little bit worried about us doing stuff like this. Can I tell you something? When God gives you something, you got to treat it like your own. Amen. Is that right? You just have to treat it like your own. You know, some people will lease cars, and when they take leased cars because they're not their own, they're all junked up and junk all over. You know what? If you rent a car as a Christian, when you go to return it, wash it.
Yes.
Vacuum it and then return it. Even if they don't recognize it, at least you know, God, hey, you saw my heart, Lord. Is that right? Folks, we got to be above and not beneath. The Bible says that God will set us above, that we will be above and not beneath. But sometimes we're expecting him to put us there, but sometimes we got to walk there. Just walk it. I'm above and I'm not beneath. I'm going to wash this rental car. I think I'll wax it. Everybody going, no, man, I ain't going to wax no rental car. Hey, why not? Amen? Because you are above and you're not beneath. Hallelujah. Because God wants us to manage what he's given us. Really, I'm serious. Take a look at what you got. and manage it. Hallelujah. Sometimes management and just get all the junk out of the house. Is that right? Get rid of it, man. Clean it up. Manage it. But God is calling us as managers. That's what that whole parable is about. Don't hide what you got. Manage it. Do something with it. Amen? And watch what God does. Folks, we're not called to be lazy. We're called to be workers and moving. Amen? Come on. Hallelujah. Why? And I'm going to ask you, why would he be telling us this today? Why? Because he's got things coming towards us. Watch this. I want to show you three scriptures and then we'll be done. Okay, is that okay? Yes. Isaiah chapter 45, verses 11 through 14. Praise God. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands. Command me. Do you see what he's saying right there? Ask me what's coming. Ask me. Folks, I'm going to tell you, there's stuff coming. I've been saying this almost every Sunday. God is bringing stuff to us. We've got stuff, but we've got to know. We've got to understand that he's bringing it to us. Hallelujah. It's not just one of us. It's all of us. Amen? Come on. And then he says, ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands. Command me. He says, I have made the earth, created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens and all their host I have commanded. Who are we talking about? We're talking about God, the creator of the heavens and earth. And he's speaking to us. And he says this, I have raised him up in righteousness. I will direct all his ways. Not only is he talking about Jesus, but he's also talking about us. I've raised him up in righteousness. I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city. You see that? Folks, I'm talking about building this city. Amen. It's built already, everybody. Now, I'm talking about building this thing as a kingdom for God. The kingdom of God in going into this city. Amen? Hallelujah. And he says, he shall build my city and he shall let go my captives. Is that what we're talking about? People that are bound and in chains, bondages. Come on, the kingdom of God is at hand, amen? Hallelujah. And then he says, not for price nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts. Are we charging for this? No, man. It's not about money. It's not about money. It's about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's what it's about. And those folks out there that need him, that's what it's about, that he is trying to contact. Then he says this, thus saith the Lord, the labor of Egypt. Let's just change that into the labor of the world and the merchandise of the world and of the Sabaeans. Okay, the people of the world. Okay, sorry. Men of stature shall come over unto thee. And they shall be yours, and they shall come after thee in chains, and they shall come over, and they shall fall down to you, and they shall make supplication to you, saying, surely God is here, is in you, and there is none else. There is no other God. Amen? Hallelujah. What's he talking about? He says, those men and all of their finances and everything, they're going to come, and he's going to release them out of the chains that they've been all these years, and God's going to bring that income into the house. Amen. He's going to bring that income into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Don't ask me how we're going to pay for this building. I don't need to know. God knows that. Yes, hallelujah. I told the owner a while back, and seriously, as I look at this, and folks, I'm telling you, this thing is touching me as much as I told him, I don't care if it's $1 million. That's a house of worship. That is God's house. I don't know how God's going to do it, but I know God's going to do it. Hallelujah. Let me give you a couple more, and then I'll let you go, okay? Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 26. Sorry. Am I in your way? Ecclesiastes 2, verse 26. For God gives to a man that is good in his sight, wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner he gives travail. to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is what? Good before God. I'm telling you, folks, God is going to bring income into the house, into the kingdom of God. He's going to bring the income. Can I now? How we go out into the world and touch the world is how God brings it in. Do you know that? You realize that? God just doesn't unload it on us. He doesn't pour it in on us. He says, enter into the field that is already ripe with harvest. Enter into that field, and that field will respond. Do you hear me? We talked about stepping into somebody's life. That field will respond, and they will get saved, and that income will become income for the kingdom of God. Is that right? Cool, man. One more scripture. Because the Bible says by two or three witnesses, these things are established. God has established these things, folks. Listen to this. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 8. I'll just read it up there, I think. He that usury and unjust gain increases his substance. Donald Trump. No, I'm just kidding. Kidding. He that by usury and unjust gain increases his substance, he shall gather it, right? They're going to gather it. And then what? What for? For him that will what? Oh, come on, folks. It's talking to the kingdom. It's talking to the kingdom. Our focus needs to be on people. Our focus needs to be on what God wants to say to those folks. Amen? Ooh, hallelujah. You thought it was just me trying to shake money out of you, huh? It's not. It really isn't. It's about God desiring to build and to restore and to touch cities and nations. Hallelujah. With the kingdom. Why do you think everything is so expensive today? Why do you think health care and all those things? Because the kingdom of God is being called upon. You've got it. Bring it forth. Amen? You've got health care. Huh. You've already got knowledge and understanding beyond that you can even think of. It's already been given to you. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, that God has given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's already given it to you. It's already yours. But it's up to you. It's in your hand to find it. Not mine. It's up to you. Let's stand. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is good. And his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. And God is going to have his way. How many know that? What he has said is going to happen. Those things that he has prophesied, by his prophets, it's going to happen. And the kingdom of God, where it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven, those things are going to happen. And we're part of it today. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you this morning for all that you've done. God, I pray, Father God, that you would, Father God, speak to our hearts, Lord. Lord, we know, God, that you have given us riches beyond compare just by knowing you, Lord. Just by knowing you. So, Lord, I thank you. I praise you for that, Lord. I pray for my brothers and sisters, Lord, that you would. That, Father, you would back up your dump truck, Father, a blessing.
Yes, Lord.
Into their lives, Father God.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
As they give, Father, giving a smile, giving a handshake, as they give, Father God, give it back to them, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we are called to be lights on a hill, a city that cannot be hid, Father. I pray this morning that you would ignite the illumination in your people, Lord. As they walk, as they go, Father God. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, say amen. Amen.